welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radiator, a.k.a. the Bloviators. Yes, the Bloviators. You'll hear more about that in a second. But before you hear about that, bloviate your way on over to RBN or republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. Send money, lots of money, as much as you possibly can stuff into an envelope, and send it to RBN at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. I've got that memorized. You can also call it in, but I don't have that part memorized yet. But that's coming. Bloviate. So here's the thing about the Bloviators. Our emblem, our trademark is going to be the speak no evil, see no evil, what is it? See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil monkeys or chimps. And Mark's gone. Is Mark the bloviate no evil? No, is he the see no evil or see no bloviation? I don't know. Does he not see, does he not speak, or does he not hear? That's my question.
It's funny.
Because one of us is going to have to pick up the slack.
Yeah, well, this is it. It was funny because I had the idea. I know that you like monkeys, so I wanted something with monkeys in. It had to have three of them to represent the three of us. And I wanted to be the speak no evil in reference to the draconian hate speech laws in the UK that we're going to get into on the show today. But this is your show. Like Mark leads the Dankoff Report, you lead this show that was Boomercalifragilisticexpialidocious. So you're the first monkey, which is hear no evil. Mark's the second monkey, which is see no evil. And I'm the third monkey, as I said, speak no evil. And if you want to see the image, for those of you listening on the RBN, then just go to achshow.com. That's achshow.com. It'll be one of the shows up near the top. And you can click on that, and we hope that you like it. So, Patrick, back to you.
Right, and I'm not exactly sure where that expression, that meme, comes from. I know it's very ancient, and I'm pretty sure it is from the Far East. I went to a temple in Nikko, Japan. I went with my mom, by the way. My mom and I were visiting Japan and South Korea. My brother-in-law was stationed in South Korea, and it was a good chance to go over. And so we went to this ancient temple in Nikko. How ancient? I don't know, but many centuries old. I don't remember how ancient. And it had three monkeys carved into the facade of the temple many hundreds of years ago. So that, I have the feeling it's got some sort of oriental origin. I don't know if it originates with that temple or if this is some sort of ancient Chinese meme.
Well, I found, as you were speaking, I just typed in see no evil monkeys into Google, and it then put wiki, and it came up with three wise monkeys. There's a Wikipedia page called Three Wise Monkeys, and Patrick, as usual, you are on the right lines. This is what it says. The three wise monkeys are a Japanese pictorial maxim embodying the proverbial principle, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Mizaru, who sees no evil, covering his eyes. Kikazaru, who hears no evil, covering his ears. And Iwazaru.
Hanazaru?
Sorry?
The last one, Hanazaru?
It's Iwazaru, Iwazaru, who speaks no evil, covering his mouth. Lafcadio Hearn.
How did you say the last one?
Iwazaru.
Oh, Iwazaru?
Okay, yeah, it could Iwazaru. Be Iwazaru. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I mean, it'd be spelled with an I, but pronounced like that. Iwazaru, Iwazaru.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, and Lafcadio Hearn refers to them as three mystic apes, and he was a guy called Koizumi Yakumo, born Patrick Lafcadio Hearn, was a Greek-Japanese writer, translator, and teacher who introduced the culture and literature of Japan to the West. His writings offered unprecedented insight into Japanese culture. And he refers to these as three mystic apes. It says there are various meanings ascribed to the monkeys and the proverb, including associations with being of good mind, speech and action. The phrase is often used to refer to those who deal with impropriety by turning a blind eye. So there you go. The monkeys are Japanese macaques.
By the way, that Lazaro Herd or whatever, Koizumi something.
Yeah.
My mother and I went to his house, his actual house. We actually went to his house and toured it. Not that he's that significant of a character. This is just a big coincidence. And it's in a completely different part of the country. It's in Matsue, a town called Matsue on the Sea of Japan, whereas Nikko is north of Tokyo. It's up in the mountains. But Matsue is on the Sea of Japan. And we toured his house. And I remember he had come to Japan. And he got married in Japan and lived there for, a couple decades or something, translated a bunch of stuff. And then I think he left. And I think he left without his wife. I don't know what's going on there.
That's interesting. Yes, I'll look into him and bring him up in a moment.
He was in the late 1800s, but that shrine in Nikko is much older.
Yeah. Born 27th of June 1850, passed away 26th of September 1904, so he was only 54. It's quite a lengthy thing, so it's going to be difficult. Oh, here we are. Moved to New Orleans during the autumn of 1877, recently divorced from Matty Foley and restless. Hearn had begun neglecting his newspaper work in... it goes on. But basically, he moved to... New Orleans. He married a 20-year-old African-American woman in 1874, who was a former slave, an action in violation of Ohio's anti-miscegenation law at that time. Yeah, that must have been something. You don't hear about mixed relationships going that far back. Yeah, obviously, if people want to look this guy up, L-A-F-C-A-D-I-O, Hearn, H-E-A-R-N. But the other thing is the title, The Bloviators. Now, I was listening to a friend of mine who's also on this show every month, called Giuseppe, who's also on the Republic Broadcasting Network on Sundays with his The Sane Asylum show. And he was on another show, a guy called Blackbird Nine, who has a show called The Saturday Snack Shack now on RBN, and he used to do a show called The Breakfast Club. He ended it recently, and on the final show he had a panel of people on. Giuseppe was one, and he made the comment of people, he was referring to, you know, I think the mainstream media or these sort of talking heads bloviating, and I'd not heard the word before. But when you know, Patrick, when you hear someone say something and they use a word as a description, and you kind of know what, you know, kind of what it means by the way that they've used it. So I looked it up, and essentially it's sort of people talking at length about things, can be deemed pompous or know-it-alls or what have you. And as we like to have a bit of fun on our shows together, I thought it would be a suitable title for us, although I think that we aren't that bad. I think that we do try and, you know, get information out and what have you, but we hope that people like the title and they like the image, and most importantly, that we put some decent content out that they're going to enjoy listening to. I'm pretty sure that what we've covered today so far, probably you're not going to find anywhere else in the independent media. Patrick, what are your thoughts?
Well, where I first heard the word bloviator, I remember it was shortly after Donald Trump's, what would have been his 2018 State of the Union? Was it 2018? Possibly it was 2019. It was the one where he all of a sudden said that he wanted more immigrants than ever before. And the folks at TRS in particular just completely abandoned ship and went anti-Trump. And Jazz Hands McFeels, who is a former fellow promoter of the Koshertified app, he started calling Donald Trump the bloviator in chief. And I didn't have to look up the word. I could tell. You know, well, bloviator, it probably is cognate with the word bloat. You know, bloated, somebody's bloated. I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds like it. So, bloviator. So, yeah, that's bloviator. And are we bloviating? I don't know. I think this is, we're not bloviating. I think this is love speech. But we'll get into love speech after the first story, unless you have any comments.
No, I think that's great to hear, you know, where you got the term from. Of course, we hope that Mark will be joining us. He's in the image and he'll remain in the image, but Patrick will be, obviously, I'll make it clear in the show that it's just the two of us. So for all of you who will only listen if Mark's on, then you don't have to listen to us. But we've got a couple of stories, and I'm going to just get into this here. I spoke to Patrick before. I brought this up on Monday's Limish show. There was an article from a publication, I believe, like a local newspaper called the Western Journal, or it was the Western Telegraph, one or the other. And it was the only article I could find about the Sven Longshanks hate speech trial coming up on Monday, a couple of days ago now. And so I read it, because there'd been some contention over him not being able to get the barrister that he originally had, and they wanted to have some sort of delay so he could, and that wasn't allowed, and things like that. But Monday's trial was only for jury selection. It's the first day. It's supposed to go on for a couple of weeks. That's the estimate. But even with that, there's a BBC article on him and a Daily Mail article. And my opinion is, and I'm going to read these to you, the way that hate speech legislation is in the UK is it's used to be, they use it, so they made it as broad, let me get this right, they've made it as broad as they can by basically saying that if somebody feels harassed, alarmed or distressed by what you have said, then that could be hate speech. So they don't tell you, they don't define things. You know, if there's a, like a burglary, so say for example, someone steals a car, you think, well, they stole that car. Well, not necessarily, because if they're a joyrider, then that's not actually theft. I mean, it's a form of theft, but I'm just going back to my police officer days. It was called taking without owner's consent, and that was referred to as a TWOC, as the acronym, TWOC. And the reason that's different from stealing is with stealing, you have to have the intention to permanently deprive, whereas a joyrider doesn't have the intention to permanently deprived. They just want to drive it for a bit and leave it somewhere when they get bored. I'm sure if you were the owner of the car, you wouldn't be too happy. But I just give this as an example, because that's how legislation should be drafted, so that there's no room for ambiguity and people can understand what the law is. But what they do with hate speech laws, as I say, is what's hate speech to one person might not be to another. And that also begs the question, if people who want to attack someone whose speech they don't like, does this give them the green light just to say that something has harassed, alarmed or distressed them, whether it has or not, simply because they want to shut them up? What are your thoughts on that, Patrick?
Well, it sounds incredibly vague to the point where, and Sven Longshanks, I know I was on a podcast with him on Mark Collett's. I can't remember exactly. The name is very memorable. I don't remember exactly the type of things that he was talking about. But if you have a law like that that's based on how other people feel about what you say, not about what you say, but about how other people feel about what you say. And of course, if you have, somebody who is a podcaster or a broadcaster, any kind of caster, a telecaster, you're casting out, you have absolutely no control over who is listening to you, and you're not directing this at any specific individual, but any random individual is able to hear you. How can you design anything you're going to say so that it will not produce certain types of feelings in random people, especially when a certain share of any random selection, a certain share of people are going to be paranoid. They're going to be schizophrenic. They're going to be low IQ. I mean, just by definition, there's going to be a certain percentage of any random selection of people that don't properly process human speech. It's just a fact. You know, this, I mean, this is what schizophrenia is. It's what paranoia is. It is improper processing of, stimuli, visual, auditory, verbal stimuli. It's, you know, these are pathologies. And how, and so if you have a law where somebody who is paranoid is going to feel upset by your speech, and then you have to go to jail, that should shut down everybody. I mean, what about BBC? I hear things on the BBC that make me feel certain ways. And does that mean the BBC should be shut down? First of all, you shouldn't have hate speech. If you have like open calls to imminent violence, I think that's the standard we're using here. It's like some sort of explicit call to imminent violence. That's illegal. What is even the phrase for it? What's even the crime? It's not hate speech, but incitement. I guess it's incitement. Yeah. If you're have a call for imminent and realistic violence, you know, that's illegal. But just based on people, making other people feel a certain way, I don't know. I kick it back to you, Andy.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Patrick. And this is the point. I mean, I'll give you another example. And this was brought in years ago in the UK. If you say you have a dispute with somebody over a parking space, and that ends up turns into a fight, physical altercation. Well, if one of these people involved in that is of a recognised minority group, that person only needs to say that he believes that this was done as a result of him being a member of a minority group, and that is sufficient. You don't need to legally prove it. His opinion is sufficient, okay? So if you think about it that way, and you belong to a racial minority or any other sort of minority, and you're involved in a physical altercation, obviously any lawyer would say to you, well, make sure you say that you thought it only happened because you were of a certain race, for example. And then you're going to get the upper hand because they were going to say, well, this guy said that they felt that they were attacked because they were black, for example. And it wasn't about the parking space. That was just an excuse. You just wanted to attack a black person when it might have been the black person that was in the wrong. And, you know, because of the way that it's done, it deliberately discriminates against the truth and getting to the bottom of the truth, because someone could just say they felt that it only occurred because of their minority status. And as a result, they are the victim, even if it's, you know, the evidence points to the fact that they're the aggressor. And that's something that's been, you know, in UK law for many, many years. But this article here on the BBC, this is the first one. Now, they refer to, I'll give you the headline. Now, James Allchurch is Sven Longshanks. James Allchurch is his real name. He's always published work under the name Sven Longshanks, and he's affiliated with the Patriotic Alternative. For example, if you look at any of the Patriotic Alternative conferences, not necessarily any, but I know that there's been some where he's been there helping sort out the video equipment and what have you, because that's what he's skilled in. He's a broadcaster. He has his own website. And so, for example, he'll broadcast, the work that Mark Collett does and things like that, amongst a variety of other work on radioalbion.com. But here's the headline on the BBC from Monday. Pembrokeshire, that's the area where he lives. James Allchurch race war podcast extracts read to jury. Now, this is what we listen out for, the language that's used here. See if you can hear the sort of manipulative way it's used.
Tropical climes at a certain times of day, when all the citizens retire to tear their clothes off and perspire, it's one of those rules of the greatest fools obey. Because the sun is much too sultry, and one must avoid its ultraviolet rays. That's natives. natives grieve when the white...
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Luck to find romance, unless others say what you die.
Podcast extracts read to jury. Now, I just want you to listen out for the language that's used here and see if you can hear the sort of manipulative way it's used rather than the informative way. And Patrick, please feel free to jump in at any point. So, a man accused of making a racist podcast played threatening songs which celebrated hanging black and Jewish people, a court has heard. Podcast extracts in which he spoke of a race war were read to a jury at Swansea Civic Centre earlier on Monday. James Allchurch, 51, of Gelly, Pembrokeshire, denies 15 charges of distributing a recording stirring up racial hatred. They relate to podcasts uploaded on or before 17th of May 2019 and 18th of March 2021. I'm just going to stop there quickly. Now, the charge is distributing a recording stirring up racial hatred. Well, did any crimes happen as a result of that recording? I would have thought they would have been reported by now, because the 18th of March, they relate to podcasts uploaded on or before 17th of May 2019 and 18th of March 2021. Well, 18th of March 2021 is like 2 years ago. So if no one has come out and said, oh, I heard a recording which drove me to incitement or something like that, it's pretty unlikely that they're going to come forward now. So again, no crimes have actually been committed, but it could stir up racial... They say a recording stirred up racial hatred. Well, what racial hatred was stirred up? They haven't provided any evidence of any acts that took place as a result of these broadcasts. So I just wanted to throw that in. The next heading is inflammatory cartoons. And I saw on Gab, I got an email yesterday. They're trying to ban memes at the moment. That's the latest thing that they're after. They don't like anything that could be used comedically to make the elite look stupid. So this is inflammatory cartoons, it's heading. The podcasts were available on a website, and a website used to broadcast content that was highly racist, anti-Semitic and white supremacist in nature, the court heard. At the opening on the trial on Monday, the jury was told that the website called Radio Aryan, later changed to Radio Albion, was entirely open to the public and intended by Mr. Allchurch as propaganda. While the name of the website changed, the court heard that its virulently racist content remained. Jonathan Rees, KC, prosecuting, said, "The very purpose of Radio Albion was to spread his propaganda about racial conflict. In extracts read to the jury from the podcasts Mr. Allchurch broadcast on Radio Aryan, he said, no other race is equal to the white race. Mr. Allchurch also spoke disparagingly about black and Jewish people, the court heard. Ethnic purity. In one podcast played to the jury, Mr. Allchurch described immigration as white genocide. The recording, entitled Rivers of Blood, referring to Enoch Powell's 1968 speech, was played to the jury. In it, Mr. Allchurch argued that non-white people should not be allowed to enter the UK and that those already here should be repatriated. And this is a quote. Somehow, it's a bad word today to say ethnic cleansing. There's nothing wrong with wanting ethnic purity in an area, he said in the recording played to the court. The court heard racial slurs used by Mr. Allchurch in the podcast to describe Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, as well as those directed at black, mixed race, Muslim and Jewish people. The court also heard that Mr. Allchurch praised Hitler's Mein Kampf and told his listeners to make sure that your friends are all white, make sure they know about the truth. Mr. Allchurch was arrested at his home in Gelly, Pembrokeshire, on 19th of December 2019, where he admitted to being Sven Longshanks. Now, this is the first time they used that name. When he went to court originally and asked him his name, he said, I'm Sven Longshanks. That is what all my work has been done under the name of. And so we're in this time now where you're not to misgender someone. But because that's what these people tell us, the people in charge. But this guy's made quite clear what his name is. And he said to the court, it's Sven Longshanks, I want to go under. But this is the first time that they mention it. And I'll tell you, you'll know why they mention it now. Because all the rest of the article, it's Mr. Allchurch, Mr. Allchurch. No, no, we're not going to play along with you being Sven Longshanks, because that's what you want us to do. But if you were to go and misgender someone, all will come after you for that. But they don't even have the respect to refer to him by the name that all his work goes under and the name that he's asked the court to refer to him as. But this is why they mention Sven Longshanks. Next line. The name is said to be a reference to King Edward I, also known as Edward Longshanks, who was responsible for expelling Jews from England in 1290. So there you go, the first time they brought up his name. Banned fascist group. Mr. Rees told the court, it's no coincidence that this defendant chose to adopt that name. During the trial, the jury will hear 15 podcasts with titles including Rivers of Blood, Humiliation and Hypocrisy Over the War, and Universities Ordered to Create Black Geniuses by 2025. They were often uploaded with inflammatory cartoons, the jury was told. Mr. Allchurch was often joined by co-hosts and guests, including Alex Davies, the court heard. Davies was convicted of membership of the banned fascist group National Action in April 2022. The trial continues. So again, he's a radio show host, so he has to have different people on to ask him questions. It doesn't mean he gets on with everybody that he has on. I've not heard these broadcasts, so I don't know in what context. But you can see that everything in this article is geared towards demonising this guy. On the first day of a trial, while, you know, they've just opened it up. And this is worthy of a BBC article. So, Patrick, I've gone on a bit lengthy there. Any comments, please?
Well, obviously, it's not a unique or hot take for me to say, look around at all of the anti-white, all of the content that is included in mainstream.
Our dreams cannot last long.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it, today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
I've got those weary 20th century blues.
Well, obviously it's not a unique or hot take for me to say, look around at all of the anti-white, all of the content that is included in mainstream media that could be viewed as anti-white, that if this law were applied omnidirectionally, the same way in every direction, there's so much that is in the mainstream media that white people could feel emotional about. I know I'm watched if I'm in a motel or an airport lobby or something, and I look up and it's CNN or MSNBC, I just see, I mean, just randomly, I'm going to see stuff that I find infuriating. The way they talk about white people, demonize people, use the term white supremacist. And, you know, in the United States, you'll have somebody like Oprah Winfrey, who said, she said that, you know, old, she was talking about old white men, and she says they just have to die. Now, that wasn't really a threat. It wasn't intended as a threat. It was basically, we have to wait till these old white people all die in order to build a better society, which is obnoxious enough. It's obnoxious enough, but a lot of people did hear it as a threat. And certainly under the type of law that is being applied in this case, if it were being applied fairly, And if Oprah Winfrey had said this while in Britain, shouldn't she be sitting up there in what is it, Old Bailey? Is that where trials take place? Old Bailey, is that the famous courthouse?
That's the main one in London. Yeah, the Old Bailey's like the, I think it's the top of the top type of thing. But the top where you are locally is you've got Magistrates Court and then you've got Crown Court. I think Magistrates Court can only sentence up to 6 months, and then beyond that you go to Crown Court. And then if it's something really major, you might be going to the Old Bailey, you know, something like that.
Well, if you're saying all old white men, they just have to die under that law, then she should be up in Old Bailey.
Well, it's funny as well because I'm going to jump over to the Daily Mail article. I've got a link to both of these in the post for this show that you can find at achshow.com. It's show number 2098. So just look for that in brackets next to the date, and that's the one you want to click on, but you're unlikely to miss the picture of the three monkeys below the title. The Daily Mail article, again published on the same day, it says, I'm not going to read it all because obviously some repeats from the BBC one. Referring to his guests, Sven Longshank's guests, other guests included Lawrence Nunn, also known as Max Musson, and American neo-Nazi Daniel Kenneth Jeffries, who went by the nickname Grandpa Lampshade, a joke about the skin of Jewish people being made into lampshades, the court heard that All Church had claimed.
But, hey, may I just interject for a second?
Go ahead.
It's actually a joke about the skin of Jewish people not being made into lampshades, because, of course, that was one of these tall tales that had emerged in the early days of the Holocaust narrative that has later turned out to be completely without merit and has effectively been retracted.
Yeah, and funnily enough, you beat me to it because I've got a forward article here. I won't read that through because you've covered it. But yeah, it says the notion that Nazis made lampshades from the skin of Jews has been widely regarded as a myth, and that's from the Jewish online publication, theforward.com. So I'll go back to see what else is in there. So I can just sort of, I'm going to sort of filibuster as I'm reading down because, as I say, I don't want to repeat what... here we go. He also said, this is the prosecutor here, that Sven Longshanks have referred to well-known far-right organiser and anti-Islam activist Tommy Robinson, who founded the English Defence League, EDL, as too moderate. And he's supposed to have had... he claimed Sven Longshanks' each show attracted around 4,000 listeners... the themes in a number of episodes include negative stereotypes of black and Asian people and the idea that non-white people are responsible for all the crime, violence and sexual violence in the UK. But it's quite the interesting thing here is there was a story I read earlier about someone being attacked on a train. I think it was a 24-year-old man. He'd gone up to someone else and asked them to turn their music down on a train. And he ended up getting killed for it. And I looked up, there was no picture of the guy who's on trial for this. And there's a picture of Sven Longshanks in all of these things, but there's no picture of the guy, but the name did not look like an Anglo-Saxon name. So I find it interesting how the mainstream media regularly, if there's ever a crime, not necessarily ever, but more often than not, I would argue, a crime involving a minority against a white person, they seem to do all they can to hide the identity of that person. Is that the case in America as well, Patrick?
It is. It is the trend in America. If you watch local news, which is not national news, only local people hear it. If you watch local news, you will see the faces of black people who commit crimes. You'll see their faces. They're never referred to as blacks. They're referred to as teenagers. They're referred to as whatever, but they're not ever referred to as blacks. But you will usually see their faces. If you don't see somebody's face, they probably are black. But in the local news, they can't hide it. But if you're reading something in print, In print, they don't have, they're probably a lot less likely to put up a photo in print, because you can get away with no photo in print, probably easier than on local news, where there usually is some sort of image in the background. But the way it works in the United States, at least with murder, is anything that can be portrayed, well, anything that can be portrayed as white on black violence, A, it is national news, so everybody hears it, not just the, you know, 1% of the population that happens to be in the local area, but everybody hears it. And then B, you hear it over and over and over, day after day after day. I mean, you know, you can think of George Floyd. Everybody heard about George Floyd, and you heard about it day after day after day for months on end. Whereas, and which was also a very, very questionable case. Whereas if you have a black person, just if you were to have a black person murder a non-black, a white in particular, on a subway for some random reason, that would get into the local news on one day and never again.
Yes.
So there you go.
And I'm just, was it not the not famous Knoxville case? Was it Shannon Christian and her boyfriend? I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, where the couple were tortured and they were, I guess, dismembered and thrown into a barrel and set afire by four or five blacks, I think, including a woman, two women.
I think you're right. I've got it here, and it's actually got a Wikipedia page. But I'm just going to read the introduction. The page is called Murders of Channon Christian, C.H. Channon Christian and Christopher Newsom. Channon Gale Christian, age 21, and Hugh Christopher Newsom Jr., age 23, were from Knoxville, Tennessee, United States. They were kidnapped on the evening of January the 6th, 2007, when Christian's vehicle was carjacked. The couple were taken to a rental house. Both of them were raped, tortured, and murdered. And then it goes on. But the point now, I remember there was a lot of protests around the time, but the mainstream media were not covering that. And this is a far more serious and a far more unpleasant death that these people had than many of these other cases, that, like the George Floyd case. You know, what would you rather? Would you rather be suffocated, or would you rather be raped, tortured, and murdered over a period of days? You know? But because these people were white, it can only be assumed that it's because these people were white that the case didn't garner much attention from the mainstream media. And Patrick referred to local news, that you will only see stories like this on local news. This goes back 16 years, folks. But remember the work of White Girl Bleed a Lot. I got his name. Why have I...
Colin Flaherty. And that's the only reason I know about this case. Because I didn't see anything about it in 2007, and I was still watching news in 2007. Colin Flaherty, that's the only reason I found out about it, and I didn't find out about it for about 8 years.
Yeah, the only reason he got the information, the way he did it, I think I had him on the show once, was he would just trawl through local news throughout America. So he would go to the local news websites, I believe, and that was how he got all these stories that just were not picked up by the mainstream, because it didn't fit in with the politically correct narrative that they were pushing on everybody. And of course, very clearly they've been pushing a multicultural agenda, and that's going to be much more difficult if stories like this are more prevalent and they get the coverage that they should be getting, because people might be a little bit more reluctant to mingle amongst other races, because they might be frightened that something that happened to Channon Christian and Christopher Newsom might happen to them. And even recently we had that Scott Adams guy. He made the comment about how he would now stay away from black people because of, he's heard that a lot of them don't like white people. And look at what happened to him. They've taken everything that they possibly can from him. And he was just quoting figures of what had been said. But by quoting these figures and facts, oh, no, you have to go. So the world that we live in is nothing about truth anymore. And it's interesting about that last but one, was it? I think it was 2018, actually. You have a look at the Bilderberg.org website, and I think the 2018 agenda. And the last discussion point before any other business was the post-truth world. So they, the people in charge, know how they want the world to be. It doesn't matter if it's true or not, what they tell us, because they're going to tell us what they want it to be and what they want us to believe in is, even though it's not true. So it's just astonishing, the lies that we're told. And then, as I say, you face legislation like this that they're trying to push in America as well, that you can't actually speak out against it, even though you've got the First Amendment right to free speech. So, I mean, I'm dumbfounded. But one thing I wanted to end on with regard to the Daily Mail article. Now, the Daily Mail is, it's my understanding that it is the most popular news website in the world. That used to be the New York Times, now it's the Daily Mail. And you look at some of their comment section, and you've got thousands and thousands of comments. But very occasionally, you go down to the bottom of the comment section of an article at the Daily Mail, and it says this: sorry, we are not currently accepting comments on this article. So why do you think that they're not accepting comments on this article about the trial of Sven Longshanks? The headline, I'll give you the headline: white supremacist hosted podcast station called Radio Aryan to stir up racial and anti-Semitic hatred by playing racist songs about lynchings and spreading Nazi propaganda about Jews caught here. Well, how about these racist songs about killing white people, these rap songs that we hear about? What was that one about some guy trying to hang a kid and there were people rapping about killing Trump and all that? And you probably heard these things, Patrick, but they never seem to get to court.
Yeah. Well, over the weekend, I had a couple of telephone calls with Dr. Duke. We will sometimes call each other when we have an idea so that we don't forget it. What were they? I can't remember. One was my observation that white people in America are basically stateless. We don't have a state anymore. We really have to get over the idea that the United States belongs to us, or really is it, ours in any meaning of the word. And I brought it up largely in the context of the changing international situation. Should Americans be upset that international politics is reorganizing itself away from a unipolar world centered around the United States and towards a Russian-Chinese axis? Should we be upset by that? Because that United States isn't our country. It's not our country, and we don't have a country. We're stateless like Palestinian people. That was one point. The second point, though, I was talking about Kanye West. And Kanye West, he is engaging in love speech. And he engages in love speech because he's a Christian. And as a Christian, he is taught by Jesus to love everyone. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that really does square with my worldview. It always has been. People who listen to this show, even though I complain lots and lots about groups of people, and I complain a lot about Jewish people, I don't have animosity towards Jewish people as individuals. I'm alarmed at the results of their group behavior. But the person who I think is the most dangerous person in the world is Victoria Nuland. I think she's been the most dangerous person in the world, that she has brought us to the brink of a nuclear Armageddon. And yet, I think there's every if there was really justice, that she deserves to be in jail a lot more than Sven Longshanks. But it's not, I'm simply happy with having her banished from any kind of decision making for society. Just put her out to pasture. I don't hate her. I can love Victoria Nuland. I still think she's the most dangerous person in the world and needs to be stopped. And I can love the Jewish people. I can love Jewish people who are doing bad things for bad reasons. I can love Jewish people who are doing bad things for understandable reasons. But I don't want them running society. But I can, and I think actually, so Kanye West is talking about love speech, and I think that's actually a very good idea. And I think it would probably resonate with our people. So what do you think about love, Kanye West's idea of love speech, Andy?
Well, I heard all the, you know, the Alex Jones show that he was on, where he had that mask on all the time and where he was accused of saying he loved Hitler and all this sort of things. But he was basically saying that you should be able to love everybody. That was his message, regardless of what they may have done. One thing I just want to throw in quickly, because I find it humorous, and I'm sure you remember it, and if you don't, I know what the answer is. You have been quite a big fan of Stephen F. Cohen, who's obviously Jewish. Now, he passed away not so long ago. But you once said to Stephen F. Cohen, and bear in mind the sort of attacks that Dr. David Duke gets in the mainstream media and from mainstream academia.
Regarding yours,
you once said to him
Mrs.
you worked with Dr. David Duke. And
on
what
Wednesday the 23rd, although your baby may be keen on a stage career, how can...
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Said to Stephen F. Cohen, and bear in mind the sort of attacks that Dr. David Duke gets in the mainstream media and from mainstream academia. You once said to him that you worked with Dr. David Duke, and what was his reply?
His reply was, "What you do in your free time is your business."
That's excellent. And, you know, and that's the way it should be as well. You know, opinions have to be put out, and a consensus comes back in. And so this constant, and what I've tried, and I hope I've demonstrated it today, you'll need to read both articles. If it is something that interests you, I'm sure it probably interests people in England more than, or people with hate crimes legislation in their country than it would necessarily others. But, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. Email me, andrewcarrington@hotmail.com, or do you see these articles as deliberately designed to demonise this guy in the public eye? Because that's the way I see it. And they seem to be trying every little trick in the book to do it. And I hope that today we've given you the opportunity to hear not the other side, but all sorts of different sides of it and all sorts of different examples. Because one thing that I, a little soundbite of mine that I don't use enough, but I come up with very few soundbites of my own. I'm generally boring other people's, like I did for the title for this show. But is be consistent in pointing out their inconsistencies. So like today, they say about, oh, in the headline, a racial, some sort of song that was offensive. And you think about all these rap songs that are out there. You know, I'm not talking about stuff like Little Steve and the East Side Boys, you know, that's a bit disgusting, that Chris Rock made those jokes about, you know, things like that. Little John and the East Side Boys, I think it is, Get Low. But, you know, that could be listened to and found a bit amusing, although it is pretty disgusting. But songs that we've referenced, you'll remember, like that black rapper and he was hanging a white child on a video, and all these songs about killing white people and rape and all this sort of stuff. But there's no Daily Mail articles or mainstream media articles that I've seen that condemn that. But this, they put a song in the title when I imagine I've not heard the song that they're referring to. So I don't know what it's like, but I do know that this other stuff is very outrageous and could be deemed incitement, these rap songs. And they're, it's major music labels that are putting these out and getting paid millions in the process. So how are they allowed to do that and they make lots of money out of it? And other people, oh, you played a song that we find offensive, so you're on trial. Doesn't add up to me. And that's why I say be consistent in pointing out their inconsistencies. Patrick, I think we might be coming to the end of your time for your show. So any closing comments, and do your close out and then Pam back, please.
Okay, well, thank you, Andy Hitchcock, for joining me. And where's your website? Because you have a daily radio show and people should be able to, they should check it out.
Thank you, Patrick. It's achshow.com. So the letter A, the letter C, the letter H, show.com, achshow.com. Thank you, Patrick.
Okay. And I access it through the Rents Radio Archives, if in case you forget. And I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.